Good afternoon, everyone. We welcome you to the Overflow Tent. That's the official name of this facility that you are in. But it feels good, doesn't it? The wind is coming in, and so we feel blessed. We're going to begin with prayer, and so we'll just pause in the middle of some of our activity here and have a prayer. Heavenly Father, there are many activities going on right now on the campground, and Lord, we want to be equipped in the best way we can for your service. And we know the church is important to you, so Lord, help us that we can keep as current as possible on effective ways of doing work for you. And we just leave ourselves in your care and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as we start, I just want everybody to be orientated. You have the outline for today. We're only going to do a part of it, and tomorrow we're going to finish it. I think points 11 and 12, the one on children and so forth. We're going to be doing that tomorrow because we have three presenters today. So it's going to mean that we're going to do some tomorrow. Now, we have given you a lot of material because some of it was from yesterday. Pastor John Murley went through a lot of materials, resources. We printed it out and so that you can benefit from that. And the only way these things are helpful is if you put them to use. And you can't do everything. As soon as you try to do everything, you become overwhelmed and you don't do anything. So pick one or two things that you think might work. And you say, well, why then did you give us so much? Why did you only give us one thing? Well, not everybody likes the same thing. And so we give you different options, things to think about as ways to make a small church thrive. We want to see God's work thriving. Amen. And so we're going to begin with a little bit of inspirational material. The first is from Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. I love the book of Philippians, one of my favorite in the New Testament, because it is a book of joy. And I believe that churches should be places where joy is experienced, don't you? We had a church in Wisconsin, and their little vision statement under their name was joyfully lifting up Jesus. And that to me was an attraction as soon as I saw the sign. But it says in Philippians 1:27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in what? One spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul talked a lot about people that are unified and people that are together, and that should be a quality of the church. And then from Desire of Ages, we read this: the gospel is to be presented not in lifeless theory, but as a living force to change the life. God desires that the receivers of his grace shall be witnesses to its power. Now, I love this next section. It says, Christ is sitting for his portrait in every disciple. Remember reading that in Desire of Ages? I think it's a delightful section. Everyone God has predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Isn't that a great image? We are sitting for his portrait in us so that we certainly are like Jesus. Okay, what we're going to be doing today is you hear a lot about reach, you hear a lot about vision in the church. We're going to take a few minutes and talk about this, and then we're going to have Pastor Daryl Baudouin share his experience in Fort Saskatchewan, and some of the things that they're doing, I believe, will be helpful to you. And every church, if it's to thrive, needs to spend time annually, semi-annually, renewing its vision. Because otherwise you can't sharpen how you are going to be doing things or how you are united to do things. And we have used these five words: worship, fellowship, discipleship, evangelism, and service. REACH uses different words: revival, education for discipleship, alignment, community impact, healthy leadership. But many of the components are the same. I mentioned the top one is because in our church we've been working on this, and my wife is going to share now. This is a mission statement that we showed you the other day. That's not from our church, but from a church that uses these characteristics. And tomorrow we'll give you a copy of the DVDs, CDs, so you have the PowerPoints. So you won't have time to write this all down, but you can look at the PowerPoints and you can fill in the blanks in your outline. So I'm going to have my wife now come. And we have gone through quite a process in our church with visioning. Phyllis is going to, she's been very involved, and she's going to tell a little bit about that. And then we're going to go to Fort Saskatchewan, not by car, but by experience.
Okay, right?
Yeah.
Nice to be with you this afternoon. We're using Mountain View as an example because that is the one that we have been most recently involved with and are the most intimate with. Over the years, Don and I, especially Don, has conducted a number of visioning sessions with churches. And we had the misfortune of not being able to stay with those churches. We just could go on. And so we never saw how these things worked out. So, but with Mountain View, oops, I may have pushed the wrong button. Because I accidentally hit.
No, we're good to go. So you just have to open that up there.
But I will. Yeah. So anyway, with Mountain View, it just so happens that that's where we go to church. And so we've had the privilege of being intimately involved with that process. Thriving with team. Team for you right now is possibly a foreign word, but I hope by the end that you're inspired by this concept. There is a visioning process which many churches go through. The conference is encouraging REACH, and we have done visioning through the church, and either one is going to work. But I'll just give you a brief outline. Number one, you're going to cast your vision. Number two, you're going to establish your goals from casting that vision. Then you will establish action plans. No goals will be reached unless you have some way to act toward getting them, reaching those goals. Then after that, you're going to evaluate. In the visioning process, you use the whole church. In the REACH process, you establish a small committee, perhaps determined by the board or something like that. In our church, we used the whole church. The pastor divided the church into five teams, and she intentionally distributed the membership so that husband and wife would not be on the same team. That way you get a broader perspective. You don't get a monopoly of opinions in one group, okay? So we, on a given Sabbath in November 2014, we started on Friday night and continued Sabbath afternoon and developed what were our visions and goals for our church. You start by listing your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats. So if you have a team that's working on services,
that team will say, or that group of people would say, okay, these are our strengths. We do a lot of service in this area, but we're very weak in this area. So they objectively look at their program and see what their strengths and weaknesses are. Each person in the group is allowed to share what they feel their strengths and weaknesses are. They each are able to share what their vision is for the next 5 years. And some say, oh, well, we want a new church in the next 5 years. Another one will say, we want to have an active outreach program in whatever area. They'll all come up with wonderful visions of what they'd like to have in the next 5 years. As you hear these visions, they seem to fall into themes. And from those themes, we can establish goals. Those goals should be realistic. If you have a church of 40 members or 25 members, you're not going to say in the next 5 years, we're going to have 250 members. If you have, blessings on you. But more, it is important to establish goals that would be realistic for a group of 25 or 40 or 50 or whatever your group happens to be to reach in the next 5 years. Not all goals can be reached in 5 years, but that doesn't mean it isn't a worthy goal. One of the goals of Mountain View was to get a new church building. We have no church building. We rent. And we're just chafing at the bit because we don't have our own facility. But that doesn't mean it isn't a worthy goal because we can't get it in 5 years. All right. Once you have your goals, I need to back up here a little bit. Everybody has their goals. All of the teams have their goals. All of the committee, the groups that were established that Sabbath afternoon had their goals. And they were written out on these big post-it notes, great big post-it notes. And then every person was given a collection of kidney beans, dry ones. And they could spend those kidney beans. So as they went around and looked at the different goals, they'll say, I really like that goal. Of my 25 kidney beans, I'm going to put 8 kidney beans in this toward this goal. Then they'll look at another goal and say, I'm not sure. And another goal, I kind of like that. Maybe I'll put 2 kidney beans there. So by the end of the process, everybody has spent their 25 kidney beans, or how many ever we put gave them, and it became very clear which goals the church wanted. They were the ones that earned the most kidney beans. Any questions about that process? Clear? Yes. No. We had 40 people in the room that day. We may not have had that many, but just say we had 40 people. Now, Melanie's from our church. I don't remember that we did the kidney beans. Do you remember? You think we did the kidney beans? I know we've done it in so many churches. I couldn't remember if we did it in Mountain View. Well, anyway, we spent our kidney beans. The people determined what was most important to them, and it became very clear which goals were the most important for us to focus on first. It doesn't mean that the other goals weren't important or would not someday be achieved, but we were going to start with the goals that were the most important. It goes to the board or business meeting for approval. Most of the time, there will be no objection by the board or business meeting. This church has decided what they want to do. But if the board thinks that there needs to be a little emphasis, more emphasis in one area than another, they can have the chance to say that. We conducted the same process in Calgary Northwinds not long after we did it in Mountain View, and this is just a picture. And they, after their goals, they established their action plans. And we as a church actually established our action plans, but in a little different way. It's hard for you to read, but they write down the goal, they establish what they think would be observable indicators that to accomplish that goal, and then establish action plans. I'm not sure how to go from here. What happened in Mountain View is that we didn't do a lot of observable indicators and action plans, but we met, there was a small core group that met to look at the goals that were voted on the most, and we saw what was going to happen, what the church really wanted. We saw that we needed people to give leadership in health ministries, in family ministries, in pathfinders and adventurers, in prayer ministries, in outreach, and other areas of church life that the church had determined were important to them. So we developed a survey, and this was really powerful to us because we found out there were people in our congregation that really wanted to serve in certain ministries. As they completed their survey, we saw people who wanted to be in health ministries. We saw people that wanted to serve in the treasury department or as elders or in the prayer ministries team. And we knew right away we could contact these people and say, would you be willing to serve? And they would say, yes. This does away with the status quo. It doesn't necessarily do away with the nominating committee, but it makes the nominating committee's work much easier. In our church, in our congregation, the nominating committee is the Servants' Council or church board. And when we had the results of this survey, we knew who could fill these positions and could approve their names and invite them to be leaders. What happens is that new people come on board, and the old people can stay on board if they'd like. I want to say something here that some people have questioned whether this is doing away with the church manual, whether it's doing away with certain approved processes that the church has found really good, like the nominating committee. We're not doing away with a nominating committee, but through the vision of our church and establishment of goals, and through the results of our survey, we found people that wanted to take part, and people who had not been participating before. And yes, we want our leadership to represent our church and its beliefs. And it does go through our leadership, our Servants' Council, for approval. We do not have people in leadership of any given ministry that is not a Seventh-day Adventist who solidly represents our beliefs. That being said, there are some situations in our church where we have leadership, for instance, in our ladies' ministries, where there are people part of the committee who are not Seventh-day Adventists yet. They are participating. They're helping with the organization of events. How healthy is that? Because they're really involved in our church ministries. I want to say something a little bit more about the survey before I speak about team. The survey was done on hard copy. We handed it out in church. It was also put on our website. And people, for several weeks following our visioning process, we brought it to the attention of the congregation, saying, please remember to complete your survey. Hand it in to one of the deacons or an elder, or go online and complete it. So whichever way they felt inclined is the way they responded. We had an excellent response to that survey. I just was thrilled with the response that we had to that survey. Through the course of all this, we were praying about how we could put this all together. And I believe the Holy Spirit inspired this next process. We decided to call our church ministries team Together, Engaging, and Active Ministry. In a team, you never have only one person. You always have a minimum of two people working on a project. And that was our goal. We were working together in active ministry, but it was together. No one was out there on their own. There was not one men's, well, maybe we have only one men's ministries leader. I'm just not sure about that one. He's sitting here in our audience today. I think they're checking us out to say if we're saying the right thing. But he does have people who support him, right, Chris? And as I mentioned, our ladies' ministries leader is a solid Seventh-day Adventist, but she has some helpers, and one of them is not a Seventh-day Adventist, but she attends church regularly. And her daughter is going to our Seventh-day Adventist school in Calgary next year. And her daughter is also part of Adventurers. So there is an absorbing of the family, being absorbed into the family and being involved. As I mentioned, no one stands alone. We have developed some great teams. One is Team Health. And this team has put together some really innovative ideas. We have a vegetarian tasting extravaganza once a year. This last year we had Health Kitchen. Well, if that wasn't something to be watching. They put together four teams, and there was a display of fresh fruits and vegetables, cooked rice, legumes on the center table. And each team was given 15 minutes to put together a dish without a recipe and give it to judges to taste, and then they were judged as to who had the best tasting and nicest appearing dish. And it was hilarious, really, to see everybody running around getting their dishes, their ingredients together, and they put together wonderful food. Have you ever had zucchini bruschetta? That was a winner. All right, another team. Team Pathfinders and Adventurers. Our church has never had Pathfinders or Adventurers. Last fall, they started. We have 46 or 47 adventurers, and I believe there are seven families who are not Seventh-day Adventists. We have 16 or 17 Pathfinders, and this coming Sabbath, they're going to be part of the Pathfinder Parade. They've been involved in every event the conference has been put on, and they've been in full, been incorporated into full uniform, and we are as proud as can be of our team. They're not working alone. There isn't just one person leading out. They have a full-fledged team for each of the Pathfinders and Adventurers. We have team deacons, D deaconesses, they're together on one team. Elders, ladies' ministries and men's ministries, as I've already mentioned. And the beauty is that nobody is working by themselves. Now, we have not attained perfection in this at Mountain View. There is a team up there that is even not functioning very well. We're working on it. It's a work in progress. So to think that you have can do this and everything's going to come out great and wonderful, and then it doesn't, don't think that you're failing. At least you're working toward a goal. And this fall, in September, we're having our revisioning day, September 17 on Sabbath afternoon. We're re-looking at our vision for the church. And we'll probably establish some new goals. And we'll send out a survey and find out who is part of our congregation that isn't involved yet, but would like to be. I have a couple pictures here that we'll just close off with. The Teen Ladies Ministries had a painting night. We went to an art studio where we paid for our services, and somebody who was experienced at painting taught us how to do acrylics. Was that ever fun? Teen Men's Ministries has done a number of things. One was a family afternoon at out in Kananaskis last summer. They also have a winter retreat at a Kananaskis hostel. Have great food and wonderful fellowship and spiritual enrichment. Another first in our church this last year was our International Day. We have approximately, at this point, 100 people coming to church each Sabbath, sometimes more, sometimes less. 6 years ago, when we were first starting to go into Mountain View, we had about 40 on a good day. So it has grown. But of the 100 people that come, we have 15 countries represented. So on one Sabbath, we had a focus of on our international diversity. And it was a great day of enthusiasm for each country represented. The food was fabulous. And every country had a flag to represent their country. So we had a marvelous display and a grand march into church and celebrating the diversity, but our unity in diversity. I think that's it. So this fall, we're going to evaluate. We're going to look at visions and goals again and adjust our plans as we need to. And I hope that this twigs a little bit of inspiration for you, that it can happen in your church too.
Well, this could inspire a whole lot of discussion, and we're not going to take time for it now, but
do you have a calling card?
You know,
a which?
A calling card.
Later.
Calling?
Yes. The next speaker is going to present now, and I will have him put the microphone on himself. So there will be a little bit in between. We are happy today that Pastor Gerald Goldwyn can come and share some of the dynamics of Fort Saskatchewan, and we will learn his journey some of the ways small churches can thrive. And you may know that he's kind of expert on technology, so we will go a notch up in that respect. Thank you for what you do, Pastor Darrell.
You're welcome.
It's appreciated by God and us.
Amen. Oh, sorry. Certainly not an expert in audiovisual, but you'll find out that audiovisual component is a big part of our church plant experience.
You have a remote?
I have a remote, yes. I'm good to go. what I'll do here, I'm just going to show a little bit more about that. When people come into our church service, we have a collage of pictures that are playing up on the screen. We take a lot of pictures at our church service of happy faces and things that are going on in our activities. I'll tell you a little bit more about that, but when you get this sheet of paper, Lisa, if you're going to pass those out as briskly as possible, just give them out by the row, Lisa. Give that 5 out per row. Okay. And then I'll just kind of shotgun through all these points. We'll take this presentation briskly and in two phases. And I'll just read through this point sheet that you're getting, your handout. And then I'll just spend some time, and I'm going to go through some images and just to give you a visual walkthrough of how God has been working in the Fort Saskatchewan Church Plant Project and basically how it began from its conception point. And we come to you this afternoon with simply no more than what God has given to us, and we'll share with you our journey and whatever you can glean from the experience. We pray that it will be a blessing to you as you implement these things. Have you been enjoying the presentations all week long? Yes. Tremendous, yes. I'm going to go away with some real unique insights that I'm looking forward to implementing. How to make a small church thrive, the Fort Saskatchewan SDA Church Plant Edition. The first step is what? Prayer. You know, we have a slogan in our church, and every time we get together for the church service and we're about to pray, we invite prayer requests, and we always say this: much prayer, much power. Little prayer, no prayer, no power. And then we go into our prayer time. So that's important to us. Number two, plan. When we first received the phone call, at least you need a microphone here too. We'll let you talk a bit. Want to just test that out?
Hello? Okay.
Okay. We got a call from our conference president, and the phone call went something like this. We were in Lethbridge, and we'd been there for about 4 years, and he said to me, would you consider going to Fort Saskatchewan and planting a church? And my immediate response was, well, you know, thinking of the work scenario, that would mean giving lots of Bible studies and being lots of a pastor and lots of a manager and this and that. And I said, that seems like a big load to swallow, even though I'm excited about it. He says, well, this is what we want to do. We want to hire Lise as a Bible worker. And then you can go as a husband and wife team. And I says, that's the chord you just struck. That sounds like an exciting idea. So we went together. First thing we started doing, we sought out all the local Adventists in the area. And even before we got to Fort Saskatchewan, we made phone calls and did some investigative work to see who are the Adventists. Yes?
How did you do that? How did you find out who the local Adventists were?
Calling other Adventists that I know in the area, a local pastor, elder, etc., and just through the grapevine. Just talking with others. The conference president gave me a couple names also, and just beginning from that process. One name leads to another. Form a core group with a harmonious mission objective. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. I'm just going to go briefly through this list. Look for Bible study interests, and that would mean some door-to-door work, phone calls, mail-outs, seminars, and community programs. Find a place to hold church services, and that would include secure a budget for audiovisual equipment and necessary items. You know, of course, we're renting a church facility, and we're very thankful for how that came about. At first, we planned on renovating a strip mall. It used to be the Bank of Montreal, and we were going to renovate that facility, and we were going to turn the safe, the vault, into a children's room. And we had to take this door off. It was going to cost us $2,000 just to get that door off the bank vault. And it was going to be about a $50,000 renovation project. But the Lord stepped in with something much more economical. We had called previously all the churches in the area asking if they would be gracious enough to rent their facility out. And most of them declined or just were not able to allow us to use their church facility. But the local Pentecostal church called me up and consented and said we would be glad to do that. I went over to the church and did a walk around to check out their facility, and I mentioned to him, I says, well, you know, I really want to thank you very much for making your church available to us. You know, sometimes there's a little bit of aversion between Seventh-day Adventists and some of the other churches because of our Saturday worship. And he surprised me with his answer. He says, well, I got on your website and I did some looking around at your basic beliefs, and you seem like a very born-again denomination to me. So he's very happy with that, and ended up making his church available, and I'll show you some pictures of that. You can see a picture of our sanctuary there. Midweek group Bible study and prayer meetings, and then D, get involved in the community. Seniors, hymn sings, ministerial meeting, trade show booth, health programs, prophecy seminars, etc. These are just some ideas. There's many things that you can add to this list, and we've already learned a number of them highlighted throughout this week, but we're just giving you what we've done in our journey as we've began our church services. Number three, promote your church services. Send weekly emails, make a church website, newspaper ads, personal invitations, mail outs, and I'll add, etc. And number four, structure your church services. Audio-visual enhancements, involve every member, make a church service schedule, assertive, friendly, smiling greeters, make church services interesting, engaging children's stories, invite guest speakers and musicians, interesting, engaging sermon, biblical sermon messages, be intentional about making guests feel welcome, sit next to new members and visitors, fellowship dinners. When interacting with guests, avoid controversial or bewildering Adventist-related comments. Interesting and engaging adult and children's Sabbath school classes. Now, this is just a few that my wife and I could think of as we were thinking, what have we done? What can we share with you folks? Yes, Eckhart.
Would you have a trade show booth on Sabbath?
We do, yes, and I've been doing that for many years. We're not selling anything. We're there, and I'll show you some pictures. We make balloon animals. We are certified balloonatics. Have you ever met a balloonatic? You're looking at one. Two of them right now. And so we make hundreds and hundreds of balloon animals for the kids. We actually went to the library earlier on in our days of literature evangelism, and we would do trade shows all over Alberta. We do six or seven of them a year, and some of the big ones, Klondike Days, and the Home and Garden Show in Edmonton, we get 52,000 people walking past our table. At the end of that few-day period, my hands were so sore I could not even move my fingers from twisting balloon animals for kids. But we would have hundreds, literally hundreds of kids waiting in line for a balloon animal. And with that, then we'd take a draw. We'd have a draw for a gift, and on the draw card, people would indicate if they'd like more information. And I'll show you a picture in just a minute. And then we would take those draw cards and we would call them up and generate interest for Bible studies and book sales, etc. But back in the days of literature evangelism, those were cutting edge principles that we learned that the Lord tremendously blessed. We would walk away from those trade shows with a stack of interest cards that high. 1,000 of them, 1,500, and we would work those all throughout the year. So let me get right into my pictures here, and I'll just show you some of the things that we do, and feel free to ask any questions along the way. But when we first got into Fort Saskatchewan, we began the process of door-to-door canvassing, telephone canvassing, some of the things that we've done, newspaper and internet ads, Bible enrollment card mailouts, referrals, community program attendees, ways to generate leads, that is, trade show, mall displays, door-to-door canvassing, telephone canvassing, etc. One of the surveys that we've used, this is one we've used quite a bit, and I developed this several years ago and kind of streamlined it, but you know, I've been out door-to-door with It Is Written and various other evangelistic methods, and sometimes you know they'll use a 7-question survey. Surveys that I think are a little bit too involved in today's busy society. So we have just a simple 1-question survey, and it works very well. You knock on the door, they come to the door, you say, can I ask you 1 quick question? Sure. And I read the script for them right off the survey, and it says, if a free seminar came to Fort Saskatchewan promoting either physical health, mental health, or spiritual health, and then I might highlight a couple of the subtitles there, which of these would you be more interested in knowing about? And what you're going to generate is a very important piece of information. Are they interested in something spiritual, physical, or mental? And of course, with our depression programs, we can provide some solutions for them with the healthy eating and cooking programs that we have, the physical, and of course the spiritual. We get right into Bible studies. And we went door to door. How many doors have we knocked on?
About 8,000
doors so far, and we gave out about 250 Bible study interest Bible study pamphlets. We're using the Amazing Facts pamphlets and a DVD that accompanies that, and then we call them up a week later and ask if they enjoyed it and if they appreciate more. And that's just one method that we've used.
A lot of these interests on the physical health and the mental health, we have their email address,
and we use database
that, and we have different activities on those.
Absolutely, yeah.
Daryl,
yes.
I was going to ask, was that your idea to do that kind of question?
The survey, yes. That's,
I like that.
Yeah, it's just simple, and it gets me to where I need to be. I want to know what are these people interested in, and then I want to follow it up for Bible studies. Another medium that you can consider is Kijiji. We've got several ads on Kijiji that we have ongoing, advertising Bible studies. We've mailed out our Bible enrollment card mail-outs because I'm more I have aptitude in visual graphical work on a computer. I've put these together myself. A lot of our materials and brochures. The Hope and Healing. We have a ministry called Hope and Healing Ministry, and we'll tell you more about that as we move along. It's our front doorstep ministry, if you will, as we introduce ourselves to the community, and it's really been a blessing to us because the name says it all. Would you like hope and healing? And people respond to that through various ways that we advertise. We tried some book mail-outs. Based on some of the popular movies. You remember the Noah movie that was out 3 years ago in all the movie theaters? And we got this idea, why don't we make up a brochure and we'll get some books from Remnant Publication, which is a compilation of Patriarchs and Prophets and some of Ellen White's other books, and we put an ad in the paper and we mailed out 10,000 of those. How many did we get?
40 responses on that one.
That's pretty good. 40 responses out of 10,000. Now, it's a great way of getting that first introduction to people's lives. The only challenge we have is the follow-up. How do you generate that into Bible studies? But we were learning along the way, different ideas, different ways of getting an introduction into people's lives, how to follow that up for Bible studies. We'll show you what we've developed as we move along. By the way, that movie is Heaven for Real, and a little boy who had this out-of-body experience, and they made a movie out of it, so we wanted to kind of counter that with another little book that people could send in for also. We did. I mean, I only purchased 30 or 40 of the books for the little ones from Amazing Facts, or $1.20 a book or $1.50, so it wasn't an expensive endeavor. Mailing out the handbills, that can get a little bit pricey, but again, you have to weigh the cost per benefit and the results you receive. Revitalize Your Marriage, we received 10 or 20 responses for that one. We gave them a pamphlet away on that. Just to try and generate some leads. We keep a history card. Now I've kind of moved from the history card to Google Calendar, and I keep all my notes on Google Calendar. Whenever I give a Bible study to somebody, I show the date, the topic that I study with them, and any necessary notes. And that way it stays with me in my pocket wherever I go on the road. But we do keep a very accurate history of all the Bible studies that we have with people along the way. There's the Balloonatics in action here. We train 3 of our church members to be full-fledged Balloonatics. And we stand there for 8 to 10 hours a day making balloon animals for people as they walk by. And then we give out a lot of literature to people. And one of the things we do, of course, we've done the routine with Darlene Blaney and her health programs. And we've done cooking classes ourselves in the past, but we'll advertise. And we usually get about 30, 40 people from the community who come out on that. Again, it's a one-day event. So bridging it evangelistically, I'm going to admit to you, I'm a very intentionally focused evangelistic pastor when it comes to all the programs, even our health approach. In fact, I've actually reworded, where is that sheet? Can I just use your sheet 1 second? No, it's not that one. It's the other. Do you have, I just want to read it. There's a project, Projects of Kindness. You'll notice that on the front page there is a statement on Ministry of Healing. You've heard us quote this a number of times in relationship to church planting. I'm going to intentionally misread it for you, because this is what I don't want to do. It says, Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then he bade them, see you later. Is that what it says? No, he says, follow me. And so, you know, I am of the opinion that all the energies that we put into our health programs, I believe in disinterested benevolence. You know what that word means? Doing the right thing for others because it is the right thing to do. However, any program that we put our efforts and resources into, I want to be able to capitalize on it evangelistically. I want to minister to these people's needs mentally, physically, emotionally, but I ultimately want to lead them to Christ. So we are intentional about our processes and our programs when we do that. And some of the there's one of the brochures that we've made up for Darlene Blaney's programs. If you're interested in any of this media or advertising at any time, my cards are out on the table here. You can pick one up. If you want to email me, I'd be more than happy to email you any of the documentation that you would like. By the way, we have our website set up. I have a number of websites, prophecymadesimple.com. When I do my evangelistic series, we have all of our necessary information up on that site. Our Hope and Healing Ministries, resources to help you. We get a lot of calls from Kijiji, a lot of calls. Sometimes during the winter months, we get 3 to 4 calls a week from individuals. And some of these, many of these calls are from the Edmonton area, so I have to refer these calls over to others. Fort Saskatchewan Hope and Healing Ministries in a newspaper ad is here to help you. And we highlight some of the general needs that people could relate to. This is my website, hopeandhealing.ca, and we are in the midst of revamping that now and updating it with necessary information. We've handed out brochures in the community, mail out 10,000 at a time. We have about 9,000 homes in Fort Saskatchewan that we mail them out to, and it's a general invitation to manage your life through Hope and Healing Ministries, and the wording on there kind of says it all, and we get calls from people weekly. This was an ad that we put in Domino Pizza, where you person would order a pizza and they'll get a menu with it and other advertising for the community, and we put that in there also. In fact, you want to see the results of these type of advertising? That's the result right there. That's what happens when you advertise in the community. People phone. And this dear young lady, she called and she was weeping, wanted help with her life, to manage her life. And what I did is I developed a set of Bible studies. I have a few sets of Bible studies that I've developed. I wanted to just introduce the messages of the Bible, of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, in a very concise, simple way. So I have about 25 lessons that I've developed so far, right from the very start. It's very evangelistically intentional. We start out with establishing the Bible as God's inspired word, God's healing word, and we talk about salvation, our attitude towards the Bible, etc. And we're leading people into our message. And of course, Lee studied with her for several months, and then she was baptized, and she is one of our crowning jewels, our trophies from Hope and Healing Ministries in Fort Saskatchewan. Can you say amen? And this is, that's what it's all about when you see these individuals make that decision. This is a brochure that we've used for Hope and Healing Ministries for our depression recovery program. We use a Dr. Nedley material, and we'd like to elaborate a little bit more. If you have any questions, maybe that'll inspire some elaboration on what we do. But the Dr. Nedley program is a great program. It is intentionally geared to give 8 weeks of the mental, the physical, the emotional healing, and the spiritual. So on week number 6, there is a decisive moment where we pass around a clipboard sign-up sheet for Bible studies. And you know, every time we pass out that clipboard sign-up sheet, we get about 10 people who request Bible studies. And so we have groups of people that we study with on Monday and Wednesday night. Summer months are kind of slow right now, but our next program, we've done 3 of them. The next program that we begin will be in September. And through that program, we hope to gain another several new Bible study interests. We have a Kijiji ad for our Bible study program. See how many hits we've been getting? 5,400 hits to our website and Kijiji for our depression recovery program. So we get a lot of calls from individuals. That's one of the most economical ways of advertising for your programs. It doesn't cost you anything, and people keep calling as a result of that. When people walk in the door of the depression program, we have some nice classical music that is playing, and then we get right into our program. I don't know, have you used the Dr. Nedley program, anybody? Okay, so you're familiar with the video. There's a new series out now, an upgrade from the previous series that he has been using, but it's a 45-minute video, and then we separate into groups, and we go into a discussion time for about an hour, and we have food samples on one of the evenings, and at the end of the program, we actually have a dinner, a graduation dinner, and last program we had about 30 people show up for the graduation dinner, and we actually have cookbooks that we sell at the depression program, about $10 each, Darlene Blaney's cookbooks, and everybody's bought one. And so during the dinner time, before the dinner time when we advertise it, we'll invite individuals from the presentation, from the program, if they want to make a dish, a healthy dish, and they can bring it to the dinner, and we have more food than we know what to do with. And so it's a great program. Any questions on that depression recovery process? We've had a number of churches call me up, Nari and Parkland Church. You've come over to our place and we've sat down. We've had a bit of a workshop giving you some details and sharing files with you on how to do the depression recovery program, and a couple of other churches in the location too. So we see that the tentacles are reaching out, and more people are starting to see the value of depression recovery and its benefits evangelistically too, in order to help your church to grow. Yes, Patrick? Well, we're doing two a year because it is an 8-week program. So there's a very specific window that we have. We started in February, no later than the last week in February, and we'll go March, April. And then in the fall, we'll start no later than the fourth week in September, and we'll go November, December. And
that's actually a 10-week program, in that you've got the introductory, and then the 8-week program, and then you've got the
graduation dinner,
which is your 10 weeks.
Yeah. And so those are our felt needs program, our methods. You know, I have had to be moved into this perspective through God's providence, because as I mentioned, my forte, if you will, is conventional evangelism, and it has been a real blessing to us to do conventional evangelistic seminars and watch people make a decision. Coming to Fort Saskatchewan, it was a different animal demographically. I've always expected a 1 per 1,000 ratio at least from my evangelistic handbill mailouts. So if I, in Lethbridge, we mail out 35,000 brochures, how many would I expect? 35 individuals from the community. Except on one occasion, we did a seminar in Lethbridge and we mailed out 35,000 brochures, and how many people showed up?
250
people showed up at the door. And so we needed a big room for that, and the Lord had previously prepared a larger motel room that was the only room that we could get in the city for that particular series, but God bless that. But I'm continually looking for that elusive handbill that has that image that gets the biggest crowd. But in Fort Saskatchewan, we did 3 series, back-to-back evangelistic series, and out of 10,000 brochures, I'd had 2 people who would show up, generally speaking. And so we weren't getting the response, and so I was forced to say, okay, now what, Lord? We need to try out these health methods, these felt need methods. And it has been a real blessing, because it's showing me now that we actually have a tool that we can work with the depression recovery program, that is a blessing to watch people's lives transformed mentally, physically, emotionally, but also spiritually, and move them evangelistically into that decision-making process. So I predict that I will probably be using the depression recovery program till the Lord returns, where demographically it can be the biggest blessing.
And I think that as the chaos in this world increases, that
the anxiety
will be filling them, and people will be looking for something to
very good point
them some comfort and some inspiration.
That's right. Jesus says men's hearts failing them, you know the verse, right? For fear and for looking after those things that are coming upon the earth. That might seem like an ominous prediction, but it's also an evangelistic promise for God's remnant church. Because as the anxiety level increases in our world, we are poised as Seventh-day Adventists to be there with tools that will make a difference. And it's a wonderful gift that we have as Seventh-day Adventists. I really want to emphasize this, because over and over again, we have people coming to our program, and they've Googled and looked for information on depression recovery. They've gone to the counselor and the local health units, and they'll get prescribed the medication, the benzodiazepines and the regime of medications, but they're not given this holistic health approach. And when they come to our program, they break out in tears, saying, "This is so wonderful. It's making such a difference in our lives." And so we really appreciate. Yes, Judy. And that's a good point. It hasn't been really clear to me up till these last couple of years how I, as an evangelist, can harness that message and that application. And now with the depression recovery, I can see now that this is going to be one of the arrows in the Lord's quiver evangelistically for helping to heal the nations through hope and healing.
And the cooking schools, like all of it.
Goes together, yeah. Patrick. Is that a question?
Yeah, the question is on the survey.
Absolutely, and as Lee said, we database all the email addresses. I have hundreds and hundreds of email addresses, so whenever we do a program, we'll do the conventional advertising, but we also email to all of our recipients the information, and we continually are getting people coming to our program through that medium. It's a collectiveness of all the tentacles that you can use in order to stay connected with the community. Fort Saskatchewan, for your information, is 24,000 in population. So it's a small city, but it's a population large enough that allows us to continue to work very methodically in the community. Yes. That's coming up here. Well, Lisa and I, we have a seniors program, and I'm just going to show the picture, but we have a seniors program ministry, and we have four seniors programs, seniors locations, lodges that we sing at each month.
But even in the church.
Certainly. I'm going to get on that one here, too. I'll show you a little bit about how we structure our church services. By the way, when we advertise in the newspaper, you never know who is going to just pop in the church one Sabbath. This dear lady, she saw our ad in the paper, Denise Peterson. I don't know if anybody knows her. She grew up as a young person in the Seventh-day Adventist Church and then left the church for 30 years. She moved to Fort Saskatchewan, where she had been living there for a few years, and then she saw our ad in the newspaper. She came to church. She was very aloof at the first Sabbath or two, and I couldn't get any information from her because I like to do that with anybody who first comes to church. And then she came the second time, the third time, and I forget what I preached on that Sabbath, but she broke down in tears and she came to me privately and says, "I want to be baptized." Now, she's originally from Calgary, so Pastor Barber arranged to baptize her, but she's bringing her grandchildren and her children to church now, and it's just a wonderful process to let those tentacles out of advertising, and you never know who's going to respond. Our group Bible studies, you know, we advertise those on occasion too in the local newspaper. Now, let me ask you a question. Is this true or false? God will not permit this precious work to for him to go unrewarded. He will crown with success every humble effort made in his name. True, absolutely. We are renting a church, so we are limited for space. The church that we're renting doesn't have a baptistry in it. So when you're going to baptize, where do you go? Any ideas? Swimming pool, a local swimming pool, another church, absolutely. You know, I did some searching and looked at some of the motels in Fort Saskatchewan, and the motels, some of them are very gracious in allowing you to use their pool for a baptism. And so we get the church members together,
from the 11th hour, from 11 to 12, and we race over to the swimming pool area, and we gather around, we have a baptismal service, and then we come back and we introduce them into our new members into the church. But it's just another avenue. And I'm saying this just so you have these ideas to know different things that you can. Yeah, there's $150 for the hour for us to use their pool. Some of them, the prices would vary. There's a local swimming pool also, but it's very private in a motel pool where there's no other people there. And I'll advertise on a slide of how to get over to the pool area and that too, just for the visuals. I was asked not too long ago for the last Remembrance Day ceremony because I'm involved with the ministerial, and that's one of the great opportunities of getting involved with the ministerial. When the Remembrance Day service came up, they wanted to ask all the ministers who would like to give the address, the sermon. My arm shot straight up. I'll do it. And there were 400 or 500 police officers and servicemen, the army there, and there's the ceremonies outside, and the mayor is over to the right side, and the other clergy. They're all wonderful people in Fort Saskatchewan. You just have to spend some time getting to know them. And the thing is, the Seventh-day Adventist Church is now on the map in Fort Saskatchewan. Amen? And so it's all about getting involved in the community. Recently, we sent out this card. Now, just so you know, we've been in Fort Saskatchewan for 3 years. It took us about a year to find a location for church services. So Lisa and I went out into the community and did what we love to do for a year. And then the Lord blessed us with a location to start holding church services. What you need when you begin church services is that core group, right? And I sent out a card to all the church members and asking this question, consider me a member of the Fort Saskatchewan Seventh-day Adventist Church Plant core group. Yes, maybe, not yet. And I want to be intentional of talking with people and defining to them what constitutes a core group member of the church. Everyone's welcome in our church. And we get 30 to 40 people every Sabbath that attend. We only have about 15 adults that consider themselves members of the core group. But praise the Lord, it's a start, and we continue to grow from there. I explained to the church members that, and I got this from Elder Corkum's, one of his slides, but the three characteristics of a healthy core group are, number one, shared passion and vision. That means we all have the same, or on the same page when it means the thrust and the passion and the vision of the church. Number two, individuals who put mission first and that are excited about a church plant project and wanting to see the church grow. And number three, individuals who will take the initiative, who are not afraid to step up to the plate and say, Pastor, put me to work. Where do you need me? And oh, that's music to my ears when somebody comes to me and says that. One of the things that we do for our church that is important, we send out weekly emails. And if you'd like to be put on our weekly email list, I have about 320 Seventh-day Adventists in the greater Edmonton area and around who want to know what is happening each week. We have a lot of speakers, guest speakers, and musicians coming. And we'll highlight from time to time the new families that come into our church and a little bit of a highlight of how God has blessed us with that family, how they came to know the Seventh-day Adventist message. We also highlight the upcoming speakers and the special music. We do a gym night throughout the winter months, and the last one we had about 50 people who showed up for our gym nights. And we rent the local gym and we play floor hockey, and I mean, most churches do that. But we're talking about how to make a small church thrive, right? And these are the ways to nurture and to keep your church family close together. And, you know, we want to recognize in the structure of the church our leadership. So we have the commissioning of deaconesses and ordination of deacons, etc. We have special music speakers coming in. I have a list of about 40, 50 musicians. Whenever there's an event, like camp meeting or a big event in Edmonton, I will intentionally move around the event asking Seventh-day Adventists, do you know of anybody who is talented who would be interested in coming to Fort Saskatchewan and share a special music number? And I'll save their name and their number, and then I'll schedule them throughout the year. So I usually preach two sermons, and then I have one off. And I have speakers coming in on a regular basis, and we get a chance to get variety and mix it up. And so, and people even coming from Calgary, and they travel long ways, and we bless them and thank them for that. But it just makes our church service interesting. And we get a lot of guest speakers, and even some very charismatic speakers too come and share with us
good-looking, charismatic, and talented speakers come and share with us. Schedule. Most churches have a schedule, but this is important. You know, we all know the value of this. For 4 months, I have it highly scheduled, all the areas of a greeter, the audiovisual, Sabbath school superintendent, adult Sabbath school lesson teacher, kindergarten. Because we're a small church, that's the limitation. We don't have all the rooms in a church for various different youth classes. We have ages, what is it, Lise?
4 to 10, roughly. 4 to 10, 4 to 12.
4 to 10, 4 to 12. Okay, and you know, as the Lord blesses with a new facility, as we continue to grow, we hope to have more rooms for other groups. Prayer, who does the praise team, scripture reading, special music, and sermon speakers, etc. Our kids class downstairs. We utilize the fellowship room. We put the kids to work. We all know this, how valuable that is, right? In the church service, put the young people, let them help out wherever they can with my audiovisual, handling the AV and the sound system, etc., taking the offering. That's an average core group Sabbath school time. Sometimes we have a larger class. We get 30 people, and we all gather around the table, but it's usually the way it is every Sabbath. We started out with about 15 people, and now we're at about 30, 40 that attend each Sabbath, and that's what our church sanctuary looks like. But again, we're very visual and structured in our church service. We want to make sure that our children's story is engaging. I always encourage our children's story people, if you have an image, a picture or a couple pictures or a video clip that you want me to put into the PowerPoint, I'd be happy to do that, and you can use that as a visual aid as you're giving your children's story, etc. And even some of the young girls, little Hannah, she's 11 years old, and she gives a children's story from time to time also. And the worship and praise, we have different people, new members, Jill and Hannah, they were baptized about 3 years ago into the church, and her story is a spectacular one, as how she came about into the church. Downstairs for the communion service, for foot washing, we had a curtain that we purchased. With the you see them at the shows, the display curtains, and so we set that curtain up to divide the room from the women and the men, and we do our foot washing that way. And of course, potluck dinners. How many here have potluck dinners at their church every Sabbath? A few of your hands, okay. That's important to us. I really think it is. You know, when you have new people coming in, it's an opportunity for you to sit across the table and get to know them. And of course, what else are you going to do on the Sabbath? I'm not going to go home and go to sleep. I want to interact with my church members, and so we never run out of food. We always have enough food for our guests, and it's always a good experience. Our seniors program, and we have a electronic device which allows us to transmit the lyrics onto a big TV. Most places have a 50-inch television, so you can simply just take a tablet and you hook it up. It's very simple to do, and it's a $40 device, and you hook it up to the TV, and that way you don't have to hook up a projector, and all the residents can see the lyrics on the screen. We do this at Assured Care, Gerald, and everybody loves it. And of course, our home, you know, I must admit, if you're doing a church plant and you're studying from the ground up, your home is going to be a hospitality center, right, Lise? And it's getting its wear and tear. We have every Sabbath, we have people over to our place for the evening, and so our home is getting its wear and tear, but we love our church members, and we like to get together with as many outings as possible. Our gym nights are always an important social event. The gym nights, now again, we invite everyone from my ministerial. It's not for our church members, it's for all the church members in town, and it's a family gym night, and so all the churches are invited to come out for that. Our midweek Bible study, we have people from our depression program every Wednesday night and Monday night following our church or our depression program. We go right into a continue to follow through with our Wednesday Bible studies. When people walk in the door, right from the start, I'm just going to show you a few quick slides of what our church service looks like visually, because everything is automated. Now, the reason why, because we have a small group, we don't have a piano player. So my son plays the piano, but he's leaving for college for 4 years. He's working at the camp right now, and then when he leaves the camp, he's going down to Union College in Nebraska for 4 years, so we don't have a piano player. So if you play the piano and you'd like to move closer to Fort Saskatchewan, just there's my card, let us know, and let's talk about it. But people walk in, and we have our song service, and then we go into our Sabbath school time, and then a slide comes up when we go into the lesson study. This slide is timed for 40 minutes. At the end of 40 minutes, it automatically transitions into the bell that you'll hear that. And that tells us that there's another one that comes 5 minutes after that, and it tells everybody that we're ready to finish and conclude. And then as soon as we get ready for a church service, there is the mission video, and we have 15 minutes of mission video. And just so you know, and I want to tell you this, that just in harmony with what Pastor Murley had talked about yesterday with the resources that are available, I have probably hundreds of video clips that you can download from YouTube, Adventist mission video clips. You have, you know, mission videos that you get from the Alberta Conference, from ADRA, and you can go to the website and you can download them by the dozens. What is that? Adventist Frontier Mission, Amazing Facts, ARTV, Creation Website, Fountain View, General Conference, testimonies from In Motion from down in the States, Maranatha, Mission 360, which is Mission Spotlight, Quiet Hour, etc. So I have a large variety of mission videos that I can play every single Sabbath and never repeat the same video over, because they keep being made available and downloadable every month. And then of course right after the mission video starts or finishes, then we have a collage of pictures. And this has always been a blessing. I've been doing this for several years. We have a couple of young people that are commissioned to walk around with a camera and just snap pictures indiscreetly at our church service. But I've had comments from many who have come to the church, and they'll sit there waiting for the church service to begin, and they comment on how lovely that is to see all the faces of what goes on in the church and some of our activities and outings. And it just gives that impression that we are a very close-knit family church. So it's something that we do all the time. I gotcha! He's a camera-shy guy right there. And then we, you know, people, I'll just give you an idea. Some of the things I like to advertise, you know, we ask people to turn their phone ringers down. Our Wednesday Bible studies, our prayer warrior program where you can phone in for a prayer request, our upcoming events depression program, any apps. There are certain apps that you can get right, you can download for iPhone, and I want to nurture people by knowing that you can download these apps and you can put them on your, how much time do we have?
We're done, okay.
Well, you know what? We're just going to clip all through and to the very last slide.
I think they may have another session.
There's another session coming up, okay. Okay, I'll just go to the last slide. For what it's worth, you can see that. Yeah, I guess I had more slides than I knew I needed to deal with. Okay.
But it was good.
All right, that's the last slide right there. Any questions?
I wish I was younger. I'd move up there and help you.
I wish you were too. Thank you, Elder Corkin, for giving us an opportunity to share.
Wow.
And we really appreciate the work that the Mulgrews are doing in Fort Saskatchewan.
Sure.
I never
I'll show
have
to you in just a minute here. I'll show you in just a minute here.
For energy shots. He has enough energy. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord gives it to him. Yes.
I wonder if some of Darrell's presentation will be
We hadn't planned on putting it in our DVD, and believe me, we won't be able to now because we've been working hours with that DVD.
Well, if you get a card, Darryl, yeah.
How could they...
You email me or call me, we'll arrange to get the files. If you email me, I can upload them on a site and have you download whatever you are interested in.
He is technologically savvy, so if you contact him, he'll see that you get it. Yes. So now, tomorrow, we're going to have our last meeting. And we're going to have a look at several other opportunities with my wife and I when we began our ministry. we didn't have a lot of health ministry and so forth, but do you know the area that we worked with most when it came to communities and small churches? Do you know the area that we worked in most? Even all of our ministry, even when we were in 200 church or 1,000 church. Children. Children's ministry is so powerful. And so we'll just talk a little bit about that. I have some material on the CD for you. Then we're going to talk a little bit about problem solving and so forth, because folks, sometimes the devil gets in there and tries to mess everything up. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then Pastor Enoch is going to, every day we've taken a half hour about and talked about some of the principles, and then had somebody who is involved in leadership in his church and so forth to share their story, give ideas. I hope it's been a blessing. And I think maybe we've taken too much time. I see the speaker for the next session. Sorry. Okay. Let's stand and have our closing prayer.
We still have 15 minutes.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your loving care, and I pray, Lord, that you will guide and direct us. Now, as we transition to another program, we pray, Lord, that you will help us to be energized for your work, to do a great work for you, mm-hmm. and your churches can thrive. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
See you tomorrow. Amen.
Okay, so let me show you that. Thank you. Okay, come on around here, and I'll just show you the slide here. Those are the three statements then?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I will.
No, go ahead. You can take that. Not lots.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm into green ministry too. Paul Dempsey got me into it. But I do it in a different way.
Yeah.
And I put Bible promises on them. Mm-hmm. And I use those cans, those ones that are permanent. Mm-hmm. And if you use the really dark ones, you can use the silk. I did it at Bovallen. Mm-hmm. I've done it with Paul. We've gone out and it works.
Awesome.
It works. It pulls people in with the helium and... Yeah,
and the more church members you have, the more you can implement these ideas.
You see,
we'd like
I've been making boxes of cards for a long time. Mm-hmm. I learned how to do it in a psychiatric ward.
Yeah.
A patient talking. And it got me in the word. Mm-hmm. I was writing out promises on boxes.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I've been to a gazillion, I've made thousands of boxes of people and taught them the art of doing it.
Awesome.
Another thing I did was I'd go to the market. I did a lot of stuff on my own. Sometimes I took people with me if they were able to come. But I would put like four or five different craft ideas out, and they would choose what they wanted, and then I'd have a jar, and they'd put money in to help with stickers and stuff like that.
Awesome.
Because there is a cost involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good, I appreciate you sharing that with me.
Anyway, there are lots of fun, creative methods.
Awesome. Thank you. Sharing that.
So this card. Okay,
yeah.
I'd like to have. I'm no good with computers or anything. Mm-hmm. Technology scares me.
If you have a friend or anybody who has a computer is able to download, because
okay,
once I upload the material.
What I'm saying is, like, what are you going to upload first?
Whatever you need. I have my Bible studies, this presentation, my survey.
So if we go on this address, can we?
You email me.
We can look and see what.
No, you'll just email me just to let me know, and I will send you a link. What I will do, I don't have them uploaded right now. You'll just have to give me an idea of what you want. I don't have anything structured because I have so much material, advertisements from so many different brochures, etc. So you just contact me or call me. I will send you the link that you can click on, and it'll open up a website where you can download all those files, and you can have them on your computer, printable and ready to. review and observe. You like?
Okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. I think it's the quickest way that I can think of. I mean, I could send you a CD. Mm-hmm. That's one way, but that's just kind of the snail mail way of doing it now.
Exactly.
If you have a link, you know, if we're in this day and age where you just click on something and you can download it really quick.
So they just have to email you.
Or phone me.
Tell
and be
what
more
you
than.
Want.
Yeah. I'd be more than happy to help.
He
yeah.
wants you to help him set up that.
Okay.
The computer.
Okay.
Here is this computer. The computer is good, man. It's big and nice.
Yeah, I like it. You know, it's not as portable, but I still like it.
No, it's good. So let me grab some books for him. I'm coming.
Okay.
I think we're done. Sure.
No, Daryl. Mm-hmm. At break fourth, you're aware of break fourth in Everton, the program.
Editing text.
Oh.
The program called Break Forth,
mm-hmm.
like Mission Fest. Mm-hmm. Have you ever gone out to Mission Fest?
I haven't. I've heard about them.
I've had a lot.
That's a non-Adventist program.
Yeah, and I've got to know many people just teaching them how to make a simple craft, just being friendly, right? Okay. Now Break Forth, I have their brochure. I've never ever gone to Break Forth, but what I like is, what I saw is they'll teach skills from being a missionary, like how to become more computer illiterate, or how to play guitar a little bit better.
Yeah, that's one area that we certainly need to put some emphasis into people.
And that's what I feel should be at camp meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So because people are walking around and visiting, but if they're how to do it center, how can I do this? You know, like skills.
Great.
So that we are equipped to go out and we have something to offer.
Yeah, and along the way at camp meeting, let's hope that we could maybe provide those type of skills too.
Okay. If you get a chance, like I do have the brochure, because I do, from a Sunday church, I happen to pick one up.
Okay.
And I'm sharing it with Paul Dempsey, because see, he too could teach how to play the guitar a little better, or, you know, skills, how to set up solar dishes, you know, or solar batteries, so you can go out, you know, equipping people, because a lot of people want to go out, and we want to be a team, and if more people get involved, because Mrs. White says that Sunday should become missionary day, you know, like, the Pope says we bring families together on Sunday. Well, how can we go out on a Sunday? Now, I may not be able to go every Sunday, but, you know, if people would help each other out. Like I've tried to tell Paul, there's more people that can do balloon ministry than just me, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, hey, there are others.
So you make balloon animals too, do you?
You know, I don't, because it would be fun to learn a few things. Not that I want to learn them all, but just, you know what, there was a clown that came to the Vacation Bible School at the Good News Church, and that was when my son used to go over there and stuff, right? And this clown came, and he would just move from table to table to table, and all the kids are following him at the end.
Oh, absolutely.
As soon as they have one, then they drop off.
Yeah.
So it was kind of fun to watch what happened.
Sure.
But this here, would you be interested in listening to this? This here needs to be revamped. It would be wonderful if it could be redone with guitar.
Well, tell you what, let me take a picture of it, because I won't do it. I won't have any time
now. Do you have a CD player in your vehicle?
Yes, I do.
Then you could listen to it.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor.
But you're going to let me use it for months, or?
Yeah.
But like, you don't need to do that. I'm going to take a picture of it.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would like.
Because I'd rather than having it on a DVD, I'd rather have it so I can download it on the phone. And that's how I use. That's
how
I just.
Can you download it?
If it's available on the internet, I would be surprised if it isn't. And it's from Advent Source, so I guarantee you can.
Oh, that's good to know. Now these here. These are the coloring pages.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to do this, we used to make booklets up for the quarter. There's 52 of them. My son would see the picture, couldn't read, and would start singing.
Sounds
just
good.
From visual, right? So,
sounds good. Well, let's talk about him, because I just have to get him set up here.
Because I have found this hopeful and helpful and healing.
I'm looking forward to listening to him.
An adult.
And I'll download him tonight, though, while I'm on the phone.
I would love to see it done with It's a little more. Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah. Sounds good.
Because many times we're able to take old programs and make them new.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Jan is able to be willing to let somebody, the right people.
Awesome. Looking forward to hearing it. So Winston, you have a song to play, do you?
Yes.
Okay, and we'll just kind of test it out here and make sure that I've got everything's working.
Password incorrect.
I have to hit enter again. Try to hit the arrow there.
Oh yeah, we have to do it. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. How do you like that one?
This password is incorrect. You might have to just try it again here. You have to just.
So while you're waiting, do you got those questions here?
Just one question.
Oh, just one?
Yeah.
Somebody will get it. What is the question?
Name one of the instruments that. You can name, I can name three.
What's wrong with
that? Up is one of them. And what else? Up. Let's name two.
Yes.
I'm very happy to have come here. I wasn't sure where I was going to fit in today, but I'm very glad that I
stayed
on.
Yeah.
Because you and your wife have just done an amazing. Not very many people are willing to open up their home. And yeah. Thank you.
That's what we were asked to do, is to do everything it takes, anything it takes, to plant that church, and it's a big commitment. But
yeah,
we love it.
Yes, yeah. It is. But you can tell you love your people.
Yeah, we do.
That's what Jesus did.
Thanks for sharing that.
That's good.
Thank you.
I don't know.
Can you change the password recently? Or?
No. I just shut it down today.
Okay. Wait a second here and see what it's grinding out. When in doubt, you reboot it. And do you put it into Hibernate or do you shut it right down and then start
it? Shut it right down.
Okay.
Like it's downloading something.
Give it a minute here and let's see. Hello. Excuse me, folks, I'm just going to grab these waters
okay.
Here.
Wow, there were a lot of folks here. Oh my goodness.
That's right, your last seminar of the day, so you can go over a few minutes anyway, so.
It's an important service tonight. Oh,
Got
it.
It wasn't taken out because it's still in here.
Can your music file is where?
Huh?
Music file?
Yes.
The song.
You want to try that?
Yeah, is it Just Find Jesus?
Yes.
That's when you did, oh yeah, they're repeating that, okay. Just want to just make sure that. Okay. There you go. You're good to go. You just need your remote and.
Church with your guitar, you don't need to be honest.
Well,
you know, I mean, I play a little bit, I've been awesome. But when I see how you have set that up,
It's certainly nice, so to have the live music, yeah. Okay. I appreciate it.
She plays,
so be sure to get the organ, a copy piano, for yourself. And,
nice. Come more often. That's for tea.
And tomorrow, there will be a book sale. So make sure also you get this book, okay? It's a very precious book. I got a copy for myself, and we really recommend that you get a personal copy for yourself, but also for the church.
How much is it?
It is $20.
Everything is $20.
Okay?
Yeah.
Tomorrow? Yeah? If you're here tomorrow and even Sunday, you should be able to. Okay, you bought yours? Okay, good. So now, there is an opportunity here for you to get this book for free if you are the first person to answer one question. Who wants to volunteer?
What was the question?
No, I don't said
ask the question.
Ask the question. That's where the catch is. There's no harm in trying? Okay. How many hands are raised? Okay. All of them, so I guess I'll pick the first one then. Okay, but this brother is very knowledgeable, so I'm scared.
Don't
be much fair for me to do that. Maybe. Okay, so we'll go with you, sister there. So if you want to mention three instruments that Solomon asked people to use in the temple. Three instruments. And nobody should answer for her, please. Because the harp,
timbre.
The what?
Lyre.
Oh, she got it.
Three.
I just wanted three. Okay, let's have a kid. Oh, hi, oh, hi, hi.
Now, if you think each one of you are going to be lucky like that, you make a sad mistake. Alright?
There will be one more tomorrow, but just one. I guess the rest of you can just get it from the ABC store.
Okay, so we have been having a good time,
yeah.
And we have one more shot at it tomorrow, and tomorrow is going to be great. I really want you to invite your friends, and please come, because we're going to talk about culture and different musical styles and tastes, and how we can find the common ground to move together, because I want to see our church move together as a family, okay?
Right.
I think we are not together as we ought to. By these type of seminars, better understanding, I think we can do it. Before we go any further, I want to thank our Pastor
Daryl. Pastor Daryl Bodwin.
Pastor Daryl. He's such a nice guy.
Amen.
And I know
not I, but Christ.
He's going to take away my congregation. So, but still, I want him to come to 200. But thank
love
you.
Love to. Love to.
You have been so kind and so gentle. Thank you. Give him a hand. As my promoter here, I know him about 3-4 months ago. We met at his church. Wonderful young man. And we are going down and you're coming up. And I'm just delighted to see how you are, you know, aspiring. We love him. You know, his testimony is great, by the way. All right. Now we're going to talk about generation. All right? Did we pray? Lord, we ask that you will surround this room at this time. May you impart wisdom to us and understanding in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. Right? Because the church is really divided between the young and the old. It's also divided against races. We're not together as we are. Yeah, we have to face the facts. It's true. But we want to be together. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to talk about generations. In any given church today, there are at least 5 generation worshiping. Anywhere you go, a thriving church. Right? It is because of many reasons why people are living much longer. Sometimes ladies are having baby much earlier. Hello. And all of those things. And so we have an overlapping of generation. And I always tell you that music is consistent with its generation. Right? So therefore, if you have 5 generations worshiping at the same time in any given church, even 3, you'll have 3 different styles of music that wants to take position in the church, jockeying for position, right? And therefore, we all are in our comfort zone some way or the other.
Hello.
And we don't like to move. We don't like to embrace new things, and the new guys don't want to embrace old things. or can we get together? All right?
Now, you always need this, and it's very important to me, because when we shall have finished, we will be friends just the same. I might say things that you don't like, but it's not out of hate or anything like that. We want to be together, all right? So if you are new, let's give the new ones, and I see some new folks here, at least 2 minutes to read this, all right? All right, amen?
Amen.
You got it? Okay, let's move forward. And so we're going to try to go through it and then discuss it at the end. Okay? Generation mindset. Every generation has new developments in